This article is entitled, The ELCA Gathers to Embody the Word. Gathering under the theme Embody the Word, more than 800 voting members met August 8th through the 12th at the Greater Columbus, Ohio Convention Center for the 16th ELCA Churchwide Assembly. In her welcome, Presiding Bishop Elizabeth Eaton acknowledged that the assembly was gathering on the original and ancestral homelands of the Shawnee, Miami, and the Kaskaskia peoples. We give thanks for their presence here since time immemorial, she said. The assembly also recognized the 35th anniversary of the adoption of the ELCA's Constitution in Columbus. On April 30, 1987, the American Lutheran Church, the Lutheran Church in America, and the Association of Evangelical Lutheran Churches united to form the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Eaton said, "This is a time for us to look back at the people and events that have helped shape our lives." During the week, the assembly received a presentation on the declaration of the ELCA to American Indian and Alaska Native people adopted by the ELCA Church Council in September of 2021. The declaration was part of the implementation of the 2016 Churchwide Assembly's resolution to repudiate explicitly and clearly the European-derived doctrine of discovery. Repudiation of the Doctrine of Discovery Task Force members gave examples to the Assembly of what the ELCA has been doing to live out the declaration, closed with remarks by Vance Black Fox, who began last year in his newly created position as ELCA Director for Indigenous Ministries and Tribal Relations. "It's time to make a change," he said. Fawn Sharp, President of the National Congress of American Indians, then addressed the assembly on behalf of the 574 sovereign tribal nations. A communion service on August 10th centered Native voices as the assembly marked the repudiation. Among assembly actions, voting members passed a memorial to establish a commission for renewed Lutheran Church. The commission will consider statements of purpose for the church and its organizational structure. A non-legislative session was also held, in which Eaton issued an apology on behalf of the ELCA to Iglesia Luterana Santa Maria Peregrina of Stockton, California, following the abrupt removal of their pastor on the Feast of Virgin of Guadalupe last year, along with a public commitment to be an anti-racist church. The next assembly will be in Phoenix in 2025. The ELCA elects Siddiqui as vice president. The assembly elected Imran Siddiqui as ELCA vice president on August 11th. His six-year term will begin November 1st. Replacing interim Vice President Carlos Peña, who took on the role after the unexpected passing of Bill Horn, who was elected during the 2016 Churchwide Assembly. The Vice President is the highest-ranking layperson of the denomination, overseeing the Church Council and serving as one of four leaders of the Church. Siddiqui currently serves as Vice President of the Southeastern Synod, representing Georgia, Tennessee, Alabama, and Mississippi. The first-generation American is the first Asian American elected to the national post. The election stood out from previous elections, however, because of Horn's passing. This was the first time an ELCA officer passed away while serving, creating a time of mourning, while simultaneously deciding the new leader and ultimately new direction the church will head in his absence. "It doesn't feel real," Siddiqui initially said of his election. "When I first thought about this and I put my name in, I was thinking, well, you know, on the pre-identification form, there will probably be 50 or 60 people doing it, and it came out that there were only 13. And I thought there's a good chance I'm going to be in the top 7, but that's as far as I thought." 65 candidates appeared on the first ballot, which was comprised of the initial 13 prior to the assembly and 43 who were nominated during the first day. The voting process began on Tuesday during the first plenary session, and each session began with a Taizé-like hymn sung a cappella, followed by a prayer for God's guidance for deciding who will be the next lay leader of the church. Voting members nominated all the candidates, including those identified prior to the assembly during the first ballot. Afterward, nominees could remove their name from consideration by the end of the day. Tracy Lee Beasley, a member of Reformation Lutheran Church in Philadelphia, received the most votes in the first ballot with 135, leading a slate of 56, 25 of whom withdrew before the second ballot. After the second ballot, the seven remaining candidates were Beasley, Siddiqui, Roberto Lara Aranda, Carla Borchardt, John Auger, Paul Archer, and Clarence Smith. The seven addressed the voting members in the Wednesday afternoon session preceding the ballot, where the threshold to win election dropped from 75% to the two-thirds majority. Siddiqui, a member of St. John Lutheran Church in Atlanta, acquired the most votes after the third round with 297, 251 votes shy of election, with Beasley slipping to third and Lara Aranda sandwiched between the two of them. The three, all people of color, entered the fourth round of balloting, which included a brief forum at the Thursday morning session. Each of the three nominees spoke on the work they intend to bring to the church council, the awareness of the time they have to bring this volunteer position, and the ways in which they can bring collaboration and cooperation as the lay leader of the church. After the fourth vote, Siddiqui fell 39 votes shy of election, while Aranda and member of St. Peter Lutheran Church in New York remained in second at 228, and Beasley missed out on the consideration for the fifth vote. The last vote on the Thursday session required a simple majority, where Siddiqui secured 550 votes, securing the election and a standing ovation. "Wow, this is real," were his first words after being elected. He thanked his family, his wife, Kendall, and Beverly Shaw, the pastor who encouraged his growth into church leadership, and the other nominees who stood alongside him during the forum and the initial statements the day earlier. "I thank you for your faith in me, and I'll try not to let you down," he said. And during his initial speech to the assembly, Siddiqui spoke of his journey to the ELCA, his love of liturgy, and the Lutheran focus on God's grace, being a member of St. John for the past decade, and recently being re-elected vice president of the Southeastern Synod. "Society is deeply divided," Siddiqui said, adding, "We refer to each other as immoral and evil and un-American and un-Christian." He spoke without singling out a side or a person, talking instead about the overarching problem of demonization toward those with whom we disagree. He said he was confused on how anything could get done if everyone had to agree on a single position or an issue. Serving on the Synod Council, he watched how consensus-based decision-making can help navigate beyond needing to be on the same side, and instead of finding a common place where the group can move forward. "When we listened to each other, we found that we made room for the Holy Spirit, allowing God's grace to work to provide holy consensus on our decisions. What a model for the world." Siddiqui was installed during the final worship service of the four-day assembly, which included a prayer by Secretary Sue Rothmeyer with intercessory responses from the voting members and church leaders. Addressing the assembly, President Bishop Elizabeth Eaton reported on the ways in which the church has changed and adapted during the pandemic and shared that the ELCA has distributed more than $1.5 million to its synods through COVID-19 response grants. "This was an entirely and a very different time for all of us, and it required all kinds of ingenuity and skill and dedication and strength and perseverance and stamina, Eaton said. Worship, Bible study, checking in on members and neighbors, hunger ministries, serving communities, prayer groups, open-air worship, that all became more visible in our communities, and we never shut down. Eaton also emphasized the ways in which the ELCA has sought to become a more innovative and authentically diverse church. As part of a report, churchwide staff talked about their areas of work, including Kimberly Jackson, Director of Leadership Development and co-convener of the Collaborative Leadership Development Group, and Rebecca Payne, Program Manager for the Congregation's LEAD Initiative. When I think about innovation, I also think about transformation, Eaton said. She then invited Nicolette Marie Pernieranda to share about her work as ELCA Program Director for African Descent Ministries, which is establishing and supporting a group of 5 New Start congregations across the U.S. As you can see, the church never closed, Eaton said. As I've said before, if God still has a use for an evangelical Lutheran church in America witness to the gospel, well, then we can't be stopped. Here are signs of hope and stability. In her first report to a churchwide assembly, a secretary, Sue Rothmeyer, talked about how words matter when it comes to the church's governing documents, but how the word, with a big W, matters even more. While giving a brief overview of the steps involved in amending the ELCA's constitution, she encouraged the opportunity the assembly has every 3 years to ensure the ELCA's constitution serves the church as a living rather than fixed document. Rothmeyer also thanked congregations for their diligence in submitting annual reports despite the complexity of measuring such things as average weekly attendance during the pandemic. In reporting that the numbers of congregations, baptized members who were confirmed and active participants experienced some decline over the past 3 years, she framed the data by saying that the pandemic undoubtedly influenced such activity since some of the declines have slowed over the past year. The data from 2021 shows some signs of hope for stability. She also reported that a dashboard-styled version of a congregation trend reports has launched, allowing for an easier-to-comprehend experience for people who seek information about a particular congregation. In closing, Rothmeyer honored former Vice President Bill Horn, Interim Vice President Carlos Pena, and her predecessors who served as secretary, the Office of Secretary Staff, and other ELCA leadership groups for sharing their sense of vocation with the church. What a gift it is to serve with them. As a church together, we care for the living words of this church and boldly embody and proclaim the living Word of God. And here we talk about adding marginalized voices. In his report to the assembly, Carlos Pena, interim ELCA vice president, shared the actions brought forward to the assembly by the church council. One of the first recommendations was the call for the election of the vice president by ecclesiastical ballot. Pena reported that another recommendation was a proposed bylaw amendment to allow for the inclusion of advisory members to the church council. The proposed amendment stated that the categories for the advisory members shall be set forth in continuing resolutions. The intent of the bylaw is for church council to hear from the voices frequently marginalized, he said. Council is aware that it needs greater diversity and the culture awareness that our elected leadership does not always embody. Because continuing resolution amendments can be adopted by the church council, the proposed amendment allows church council to be flexible and adjust categories as needed in the future, he added. The council also affirmed a redesign to strengthen the church-wide organization and align the ELCA for the purpose of activating all ELCA members so more people know the way of Jesus and discover community, justice, and love, Pena said. Let us envision a world experiencing the difference God's grace and love of Christ make for all people and creation. In closing, Pena said, I give thanks to God for you, members of the ELCA, for your faithful witness to the gospel and your deep love for this church. Next, Laura Fedick, ELCA treasurer, expressed gratitude on behalf of the ELCA for the steadfastness and generosity that congregations displayed in their giving over the past 3 years, especially considering the pandemic. She reported that mission support, a source of unrestricted revenue that represents a portion of offerings that congregations share with synods and churchwide, continues to be the largest revenue stream. Mission support gifts in 2021 totaled more than $40 million. Fedick also reported that for 2019 through 21, there was a net revenue of $11.1 million, which was generated in part by open positions and reduced travel, and not because of reductions in programmatic work. It's important to note that as a nonprofit, our goal is to spend resources to further our mission. As part of the report, Daniel Kirschbaum, ELCA Program Director for Young Adult Ministries, and Rahel Williams, ELCA Mission Funding Director, shared stories about the Abide Program and Global Missionaries as examples of work made possible through financial support to the church. Fedekin also informed the Assembly that from 2019 to 21, ELCA World Hunger received $70 million and Lutheran Disaster Response $35 million. Thank you does not seem like enough, Fedick said. Your gifts do make our work possible and allow us as a church body to impact millions of lives. In the same report, Louise Johnson, ELCA Executive for Administration, talked about the ELCA's goal of engaging 1 million new, young, and diverse people. This work is not about people in the pews or dollars in the plate, but about our deep calling to make disciples of all nations, to activate each of us so that more people know the way of Jesus and discover community justice and love. The 2023 through 25 budget was approved. The members approved the budget, which comprises a current fund spending authorization of $68,814,000 for 23, and $70 million for 24, and $71 million for 25. The budget also includes a spending authorization for World Hunger of $22,800,000 for 23, and income proposals for $23,000 for 24, and $23 million for 25. Memorials address church governance and social issues and more. The Assembly adopted memorials that covered topics including nuclear weapons, parental and family medical leave, communion practices, and substance abuse. Memorials originate in congregations and are submitted by Synod Assemblies to the churchwide organization for Assembly consideration. They cover broad policy issues and programs that relate to the church's mission and its public witness in society. 12 memorials were removed for separate consideration. Those considered and acted upon at press time include restructure the governance of the ELCA. This calls the Church Council to establish a commission for a renewed Lutheran Church to consider statements of purpose for the Church, its structure, and to present its findings and recommendations to the Churchwide Assembly of 2025. Human Sexuality, a Gift and Trust Revision. It authorizes a reconsideration to revise the 2009 social statement, Human Sexuality, Gift and Trust, so its wording reflects current church understanding, church policy, civil law, and acceptance of marriage of same gender and gender nonconforming couples. This action includes identifying the cost of revision and revenue source for such work, which could be considered as early as the 2025 Churchwide Assembly. Fortifying Urban Ministry, which calls for the creation of an urban ministry group to accompany the synods in their urban strategies to enhance congregational vitality and ministry sustainability in urban context, and to share reports on ways for the church to fortify its witness and service among people in underserved urban areas. A Black Migrant Strategy, which directs the development of a proposal to strengthen advocacy, protection, and accompaniment of Black immigrants, particularly through AMPARO, and in partnership with U.S. and global ecumenical and interreligious partners. The mission development process calls for greater equity and clarity on the mission development process, including studying and refining current guidelines related to appointments, calls, funds, and support mechanisms for mission developers in new ministries. Land Back, which calls for ELCA ministries and partners to engage in deeper collaboration with Indigenous partners, including incorporating land acknowledgments as part of public gatherings, exploring the creation of restorative justice programs, and studying funding needs and sources for ELCA Indigenous congregations and service ministries. This is the neighbor-loving work for which we have been set free, said Bill Tesh, Bishop of the Northwestern Minnesota Synod. Advance Salary Equity, which calls the Church Council to consider commissioning a study of pay gaps among ELCA rostered ministers and to share the findings throughout the church. The adopted memorial also encourages Portico Benefit Services and the churchwide organization to revise bylaws and privacy policies to facilitate deeper understanding of compensation patterns among rostered ministers, and calls for an update to compensation-related questions in the rostered minister profile. Separation Agreements affirms a churchwide organization commitment to limit the use of non-disclosure provisions and to urge other expressions and partners of the ELCA to also limit the use of non-disclosure agreements, include a matter of course in termination of calls of rostered ministers. Roe v. Wade encourages support and prayer for people affected by the overturning of the Roe v. Wade, including rostered ministers and lay staff at congregations and social ministry organizations. It also calls for conversation on the church's teaching on abortion and related topics, as well as synodical reviews of the impacts that overturning Roe v. Wade and other related local rulings may have on pastoral counseling and the pastor-client relationship. The conversations of how we embody the word in a post-Roe v. Wade world are already happening, but without theological, legal, and emotional support. We're working off our best individual guesses, leaving room for tremendous error, exclusion, and loss, said Ashley Deliocoma, a pastor of Texas Louisiana Gulf Coast Synod. We need our synod support and help. Memorials removed for separate consideration that were not acted on as of press time include greenhouse gas reduction, diversity, equity, inclusion, accessibility, governance audit, and specialized ministries and on leave from call status.